it is rooted in a lot of this heritage and culture and history and what we've eaten at home, what is home style, what our parents have cooked for us. But it's also starting to evolve quite a bit, where we grew up eating different cuisines, different types of food, and mixing those in different ways.
I'm your host, Dave Knox, and this is Predicting the Turn, a show that helps business leaders meet their industry's inevitable disruption head on.
Welcome to another episode of Predicting the Turn. Today, we sit down with Jen Liao, who is the co-founder and president of Mila. Jen, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
I love the story that how you guys got started with Mila. Can you share a little bit about what the brand is and exactly what inspired you to launch it?
Yeah, Mila is a modern Chinese food company, and we actually started with frozen soup dumplings in 2020. Before that, we actually started as a fast casual restaurant, October of 2018. We sold specialty Chinese street food at the restaurant. So our hero product was something called Sinjin Bao. It's a pan-fried soup bao that's a cousin of the soup dumpling that's very popular in China. And we hadn't had a good version of it here in the States. So we really just wanted to bring it here and be able to eat our favorite food in person. And that's what got started on the restaurant concept. In 2020, when COVID had hit, we were closed for a few weeks. And during that time, we started to experiment with soup dumplings. We froze it, put it in Ziploc bags and brown paper bags, and then we sent out a Google form and tapped into a couple of local networks and groups on WeChat and Facebook, and really just got started there to see if anybody wanted to buy our food.
You know, going from a restaurant brand to a direct-to-consumer isn't perfectly a straight path by any means. So how did you figure out what it would take to take this amazing product you were making in the restaurant and do the supply chain of a direct-to-consumer and the different regulations and everything else that goes into it?
Yeah, that was very different to do that. We did open up our manufacturing facility, which is also a little bit unusual for a CPG company. So we are vertically integrated. We manufacture our own soup dumplings, and that kind of has been an ongoing thing. So we opened our first facility to officially produce this in July of 2021. And then we're actually moving into a new facility right now to expand our manufacturing capacity. On the supply chain logistics side, that has also been an ongoing continuous project. In the very beginning, we had delivered just local to Seattle, actually right around Bellevue, where the restaurant was. And we delivered it ourselves. We used TaskRabbits in the very beginning. And then we started to use some last mile logistic partners to deliver in the state of Washington. And we just slowly expanded out from there, from Washington to the Pacific Northwest to the rest of the US. And we've built out a few different frozen warehouse partners to be able to ship this frozen direct to consumers straight to their doorsteps, which is also a little bit unusual for an e-commerce product to do frozen product. And so that has been a very big project. I would say it took about 1 to 2 years to fully build out our network. And then we're still continuously working on it to make sure that when we ship it, it does arrive with full integrity and doesn't melt in the process.
So you started the journey 2018, then 2020 with the frozen product, but you've only been known as Mila to the world for about a year. What led to the rebrand and that choice?
Yes. So when we had first started, as I mentioned, we were a restaurant, and it was really geared towards Chinese street food at the very beginning. So our first name was Xiaozijie, which literally means street food alley. And so for us, that was a very fitting name for something that was local Chinese street food. Majority was Chinese audience and population who knew what this meant as well. And as we expanded, and it was nationwide, and our consumer audience really the rest of the US, and we started to expand our product portfolio, we had to embrace a name that was a little broader and encompassed where we were headed in terms of the whole Chinese food category and what that would mean for everyone tasting it. So Mila actually means honey and spice. So mi is feng mi, which is honey, and la is la jiao, which is like pepper or spice. And so we put that together. We had actually come up with the name for if we had a daughter. We ended up having a son, so we didn't go with that name for our son, but it felt like the perfect name for our company as well, because for us, it symbolized being able to embrace this duality of being both Chinese and American, being spicy and sweet, or either, or somewhere in between, or neither of those. And I think we really liked that, being able to have a name that captured that we were still figuring out our place as third culture kids in the Chinese American space and what that meant to us, and being able to own our heritage, but also create something new.
So can you talk a little bit more about that third culture kid? That's something you've used to describe yourself and the brand. How has it really informed the choices that you've made as you've expanded nationwide?
Yeah, so I think third culture kid really just means typically like your first culture is where your parents are from, which is usually a foreign country. And so in this case, Caleb and I, our parents are from China. And then the second culture is where we reside, which is the US. And third culture is an amalgamation of both of those and how both of those backgrounds have informed our lived experiences. So as third culture kids, we're really just looking to be authentic to who we are. And I think what our experiences are, we can't really speak for the Chinese population or the Chinese culture. That's also evolving in a totally different way. But I think we can speak for how we've experienced it, the food that we like and what we want to eat. And I think that's a very special place for food right now, where it is rooted in a lot of this heritage and culture and history and what we've eaten at home, what is home style, what our parents have cooked for us. But it's also starting to evolve quite a bit, where we grew up eating different cuisines, different types of food, and mixing those in different ways as well. So we're really making this food where we want to eat this. This is something we're creating for ourselves and we want to eat. But it's also reflective of where we are, and I think other people are embracing that. So for our products, we do have a range of some that are quite traditional, like the soup dumpling, where it has origins in a Shanghai flavor or a Taiwanese flavor, for example, and we can draw upon that. And then we can evolve on a traditional item. For example, there's demand for vegan soup dumplings. There's demand for gluten-free soup dumplings. There's demand for clean label soup dumplings. And that is the current market and where we reside and what people are asking for. So we can take a look at that. And then it also ranges to completely new types of food where it hasn't really been done before and hasn't been imagined that way. So we did release as a limited edition soup dumpling. We've had a few different flavors. One was like a Taiwanese beef noodle soup dumpling. This last October, we had a Hong Kong creamy corn soup dumpling. And then our latest launch was actually a pho soup dumpling. And so that's just like moving outside of the box a little bit in how we might imagine what this cuisine could look like.
Talent is a big part of predicting the turn. And as we talk about talent, I wanted to mention one of our sponsors, Hunt Club. Imagine the power of the best marketers in the world helping you to find your next marketing leader. That's the power of Hunt Club. Hunt Club is a new category of talent company that powers the network of experts, connectors, and business leaders to help you find the best talent. Let's face it, recruiting hasn't changed with the times. Hunt Club is changing the recruiting game by leveraging technology and crowdsourced referrals to find you the best people possible for your company. Stop paying job boards that don't work or recruiting firms that recycle the same active candidates. Partner with Hunt Club.
So with that in mind, you've seen this really incredible renaissance of best-in-class Asian foods and this blending of cultures and what it looks like and how it comes across on the CPG shelves. Where do you think that evolving landscape is going to go over the coming years?
Yeah, I think the grocery store shelves are very interesting. And we didn't really know this going into it, since where we started was we just wanted to create food that we ourselves would want to eat and our families would want to eat. And because we started with e-commerce and just recently went into retail, I think we've been learning a lot going into this space as well. So what we do see is that there are Chinese food products that are available, but they have been the same Chinese food products for quite a while. And there are some strong incumbents in there, but those flavors have also been developed from 10, 20, 30 years ago and haven't really changed necessarily. And I think for what the current consumer population looks for then versus now also has shifted a little bit. And what we do see is there's a demand and an interest in authentic Chinese food, high quality Chinese food that hasn't really been represented on some of the shelves yet. I think there's been a lot of history for that, where Chinese food has been seen as, for example, cheaper, lower quality. And this is a vicious cycle, a self-fulfilling thing, where because of that, and you have to hit this price point, then there hasn't been an ability for incumbents to be able to invest in different ingredients or different flavors or a different way of doing the product historically. And us coming in a little bit newer, we're able to reset that narrative and bring a totally new type of item or approach to what's going on. And we do see there's really good reception for that. I think it's been a latent demand. We can see that for Chinese food market, for restaurants, it's a huge industry right now. It's the second largest ethnic food industry, and that's not really reflected in grocery stores. So I think there's this latent demand for really good, authentic Chinese food, and we're starting to be able to fulfill that. And then beyond that, of course, this third culture new creation, which is a blank space. And I think we'll just have to keep testing different concepts and see what people are interested in.
So relate to that, last year you added a new chief content officer that brings a little celebrity flair to the business. How are you using that to really make that communication of the challenge you just described in the Asian food culture?
Yes, we started working with Simu Liu last year. One of the first things that we did together with him was we launched two campaigns. They were TV streaming campaigns as we went into retail. The point was to tell this story to a broad audience in terms of what is Chinese food, what's Chinese American food, what does their culture mean, what does it mean to care about the craft of this food, to share that with a lot of different people and broaden the audience of who's hearing this, who are we educating. We have a multi-pronged approach right now in terms of organic social on a lot of the social media platforms like Instagram, TikTok, or YouTube, YouTube Shorts. This was able to bring us to a larger stage and a different audience than what we have right now. I think people resonate with it in different ways, especially if somebody else is telling the story versus we're telling our story. And if you know who that person is and you know what they stand for, I think Simu has cared about advancing a lot of these Asian audience initiatives. And so I think that is a really good crossroads for us.
The last few years have been definitely a roller coaster, from starting with the restaurant to D2C to launching your own manufacturing. What do you see happening for the brand over the course of not just the next year, but really the next 5 years?
Yeah, I think for us, a lot of our core is around quality and accessibility. And I think on the accessibility front, that's why we're expanding and continuing to expand into retailers. That's where shoppers are shopping right now. I think that's where we meet a lot of our customers and audience. So that'll be a really big focus over the next few years, is to continue to expand with our strong retail partners and work with them to be able to bring these products to market and expand the Chinese food category overall. I think because there's this interest and we're working to meet that demand, that'll be a really big focus. Outside of the retailers, we'll continue on the D2C side to bring innovative flavors to our audiences. And that's a really great testing ground for us. A lot of these new limited edition flavors, third culture flavors, that's where we'll do it as a limited edition drop, for example. And beyond soup dumplings, this year we are working on dumplings as well. We've previously released noodles and skewers, and in the future we'll look at different product formats as well. There's so much food to be able to tackle, so I think the possibilities on a product expansion line are endless.
If you rewind back to 2020, there is a lot of restaurateurs that were in the same shoes you were in, that they have a product, they think it could live beyond their restaurant walls, but they're not taking the leap that you were able to do with the business. What advice would you give to them of how do they decide if it is something that could become a CPG product and transition beyond just the restaurant itself?
That's a good question. I think there's a couple of things. One, I think we're very lucky in our timing. And for example, during that time, advertising online was very cheap because a lot of advertisers had pulled out of those platforms, were, let's say, 10% of what they are now. And so if you're starting a new concept, it was really easy to just go test that at very low risk. I think we just did a lot of tests. So we had a testing mindset of launching it in different regions at different price points, packaging it differently, shipping it differently, messaging it differently. And we're able to do so many of these tests to be able to get early data. And I think the early data showed us that we had product market fit very early on. So that was another lucky, fortunate thing that we landed on very quickly. I think that's the hardest thing for a lot of people is to find product market fit and then be able to really lean into that to scale that item. So I think we found that at the right time, the right product, the right audience, which was a dream scenario for us. And then I think being able to take advantage of that, the vertical integration piece has been really important for us. In the very beginning, we were just dogmatic and stubborn about this because we had started as a restaurant. We knew how good the food could be. We just weren't really satisfied with going down a co-packer route where we're tiny, so they're not going to really adjust their processes or ingredients or lines to custom fit what we wanted to do. And so we had no option in our own minds except to do the product ourselves. And so I think that was way harder. Obviously, it's like a completely different business than a restaurant in terms of the unit economics, the business model, the team, the facilities, even equipment. And so you're essentially building a second company. It's not really an extension of that. And we did that early on, but that also has served us really well to be able to move very quickly. And I think be able to adhere to a lot of the values that we hold as a company.
I can't thank you enough for telling the story of the amazing business you guys have built in a pretty quick order with Mila. So I wish you the best of success in the years to come.
Thank you.
Thanks for taking the time.
Thanks so much for listening. If you like the show, hit that rating and make sure to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And for more resources, head over to predictingtheturn.com.